May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Today we're looking at the fifth sorrow and joy of Joseph, and this is a scripture that Bracken read. And I just wanted to share a couple of things that I think that are... And again, one of the reasons I've been teaching from this is that it's not something everybody gets to hear about, and this Advent season is a great time to do this. And two, this is not just scriptures that I study and meditate on, contemplate on. One of the best things you can do is pray the Word. And what I mean by that is get in the Word and then pray about what you're seeing. You know, don't just pray the scripture, but pray about what you're seeing. Have conversation. And scripture should be, in prayer, scripture should be the centerpiece that invokes conversation. When David said in Psalm 27, this one thing I've asked that I shall seek all the days of my life, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord or dwell in the presence of the Lord and behold his beauty and inquire of him. And what David was saying there is that I want to get fresh glimpses of who he is and his ways, and then I want to talk to him about it. That's what I mean by praying the scripture that way. There's a place for actually praying the word, and I do that. We use verses that you just pray them because they're prayers. But this is so this is one of those places where I contemplate, pray, and then I ask for God to do these things in my life pretty consistently. And this particular one, this fifth one, is the first time. This is when God speaks to Joseph about going to Egypt. Now he's going to speak to him again supernaturally about coming up out of Egypt. Let me just read these verses again. Now when they had departed, talking about the Magi, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. It's amazing to me how many times this happens with Joseph. Because God uses Joseph to direct so many things. There's nothing bigger in human history than the birth of Christ. Because the whole redemptive process began to be incarnational at his birth. And yet he spoke to Joseph in a dream. An angel came to him in a dream to confirm that Mary was pregnant with the Holy Spirit. An angel's going to come here and speak about this. An angel's going to come in again to tell him to leave Egypt, to not settle into Jerusalem. And it's always one of the things I pray about is, God, open my spiritual ears to where you can speak to me in any way you want to. That I don't want to just be a Westerner that can only hear things in a logical way. I want to also be able to hear things transrationally. Again, it talks about that in Numbers, that God used to speak to Moses mouth to mouth, and then he talked about dark sayings when God comes to you in dreams, when visions and prophecies and things like that. Those are important ways that God speaks to us, and if you're not open to that or even asking God to do that, the Lord says we have not because we ask not, that we're in partnership with him in prayer. And so I would just encourage you, ask God to begin to speak to you in extravagant ways. As we mentioned Sunday for CTKers, for those who have a heart to be extravagantly obedient, then they've postured themselves to hear God speak in extravagant ways. And I want God to speak to me any way he wants to. So he comes to him in a dream. He says, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. So in the middle of the night they leave. And was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, out of Egypt that I call my son. So him going into Egypt, these were always interesting things to me, because he warns him to flee and to go into Egypt, because Herod is looking for the Messiah. And he kills many children, holy innocents. And yet he warns him, but it's not like God's being taken by surprise, that suddenly Herod makes this decision and God goes, whoops, I better get him out of here. It's a fulfillment of scripture that says that he will be called out of Egypt into the next season of his life. And so God is so big, he takes into account all human decisions and all human stuff. All we have to be is yielded to Him. And then it doesn't matter what other people do and decisions they make, because God will make sure we're going to constantly be positioned to fulfill our destiny and purposes in Him. I don't have to live in anxiety and fear about what some other person might do, that somehow they can rob me of my destiny in Christ. That can't happen. But one of the things I like here is it says, He tells them to flee to Egypt and remain there. The word remain there is a unique word. Literally, the word is flee to Egypt and be there. Well, obviously, if you flee to Egypt, you're going to be there. But the language and the grammar, the word literally means kind of like go to Egypt and embrace your time there. Don't just go there and wait out that time until the next time comes. Go and embrace your time there. It's my will for you to be there and embrace that time. Psalm 48 is a messianic psalm, and it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And so if we believe that God orders our steps, it's amazing how many times that we say we believe He orders our steps, but when we take the step, we complain about the step He's ordered. That's not embracing. That's not being there. Now, Egypt isn't a place where Joseph may have decided, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to, like, take my family to Egypt and live among a bunch of pagans and a bunch of strangers who speak a foreign language and who worship foreign idols and gods, and that's where I'd like to hang out and be responsible for stewarding the Messiah as a little infant. No, he would not choose that. But God chose that, and He said, when you go there, embrace your time there. Because it's there, I'm going to do some things, and it's from that place I'm going to call you into the next place. So I guess really one of the words that I think is important for us to hear and that I pray into is this: God, not just the be there like in your job or in your situation in general, but like even whatever's going on today. Whatever's going on today, no matter how uncomfortable it may be, no matter I would not have chosen this in my flesh, but You order my steps and You've chosen this for me, I want to embrace this and not live in complaint. Because there are things that You're doing in my life here that I can't even see. Or maybe it is a job. Maybe it is a situation. Maybe it's a relationship that's God's will, but it's not perfect. It's not like You'd like for it to be. Instead of complaining and falling back and creating your own rules how you're going to do this, you embrace that place, and God says that He'll call you out of that place. I don't mean by that He may call you out of it literally, but He calls you into the next season if you've embraced that place. See, Jesus couldn't have fulfilled His destiny if He hadn't have spent time in Egypt, because the Scripture said His destiny was to be called out of Egypt. So He needed to be there. And it's really important that we embrace the place that God puts us, the situation that He puts us in. We need to see it like a greenhouse. And that in a greenhouse, it's a culture, no matter how foreign it may seem and uncomfortable it may be, I need to embrace that, because it's that in that greenhouse I'll grow. And then I'll be prepared for God to call me into the next season, at least spiritually. Amen? It's really important. I pray into that all the time. You know, and it's very practical. You know, I'm in a lot of meetings and a lot of meetings outside of Selma. So when I go to places like House of Bishops or Patriarchs Council, sometimes those aren't always a lot of fun. And I can just gripe my way through that. And I watch, you know, or I can embrace. So I pray about those things. This word, Lord, let me be there, Lord. I don't want to just go there. I want to be there so that You can do all that You want to do through me, but also in me. Because there are things You want to do in my life next that I'll never get to if I don't let You do what You're doing in this. So if there are certain places, certain situations, certain circumstances that you famously like to gripe about being in, you need to repent of that. You know, I remember when we first came in the CC, and those of you who aren't CC, just bear with the story. And there were just some things that changed a little bit. And I remember in our rector's council, we talked about this. And finally, after a few months, I said, guys, if this was God's will for us to come into this, it meant that part too. And we need to not complain about that part and embrace that part, or we're going to miss God's destiny for us. He can't really do the next thing He wants to do in us if we don't. So, and maybe you're never prone to complaining about stuff. But, I need to pray this into my life. And because I don't want to miss what God's doing now. But God always does things with double vision. He always does things in our lives with vision for what He's doing in you now, but also with vision for what's coming next. And what's coming next and how much you move into what comes next will totally be determined by how you steward what's happening now. And if you spend your whole time in the now, wishing that you were there or somewhere else, then you'll never get to the there or the somewhere else God has for you spiritually. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.